Okay, so I recently moved from, they call it Friendly Manitoba. This is what they put on their license plate. And it's friendly, by the way, to lovely Ottawa. I see some people just chuckling. Yeah, it is lovely, so don't try to convince me otherwise. And yeah, so tonight we'll be talking about Christian attitudes in face of adversity. I have nothing to disclose. I'm just like telling you that as I was going over the content, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to add anything new to your knowledge or information. So all the information and the content here, we all know it. So it's going to be a bit boring, not only because I am giving it, but yeah. So bear with me. However, there is maybe something new. I'm going to give you a new analytical approach when we are in a state of adversity. And this is the prescription that I'm going to give you, and I hope that you use it every time we find ourselves in a state of adversity, okay? And there is a part of the meeting that's going to be fun, but it's going to be a surprise. Okay, so let's start. So what's an adversity by definition if you go to the dictionary? So it could be a difficult or simply an unpleasant situation. We all have been there, for sure. It could be a part of our daily life, right? For other people, it could be like, you know, one step further. It could be a state of misfortune, as we see in the picture. Some people in life, like, you know, their path is to go just like uphill, and you all know how does this, you know, just like, you know, make us feel uncomfortable when you have to go uphill. Some people have what we call affliction. It might be just like, you know, a handicap or a disease or poverty or whatever. And like, you know, it's tough. And as we see in the last picture, it could be a disaster. And I hope no one finds himself hanging like this guy, but sometimes life puts us in a situation like this one. Okay. Well, no one is immune, and that is true. No one is immune. And Jesus was honest about it. He told his disciples, and we know, like, every time we read the Bible, Jesus says, in this world, we're going to have trials and tribulations. We see Peter here says, beloved, do not think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You shouldn't be surprised. And St. Paul, to the Thessalonians, he says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. And to Timothy, he says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Does anyone want to continue in Christianity after that? Well, it is tough. This is true. This is our religion. So if this is true, instead of trying to avoid adversity and run away from adversity, we better prepare ourselves how to face an adversity. And this is what the topic is all about. So we will find that the way we handle adversities in life tell us who truly we are. Okay? I like this quote when I was preparing the topic, an adversity introduces man to himself, and that's true. So when we are in a state of adversity, this poor organ that we see in colors there, the brain, and I'm sure we all have it, right? In different sizes, though. Like, some people have it X-large, some people have it large, some people have it small. But regardless of the size, we all have brains. And regardless, again, of the structure, we hope that the connections, you know, and the cables connecting the different parts of the brains are working. So when it comes to an adversity, like, you know, we need to make a decision. You need to sit and think and make a decision. But guess what? Like, you know, There's so many things that happen when we need to make a decision in a state of adversity. So emotions play a big part. Every time we are facing an adversity, like, no one is going to be happy, right? We're going to be sad. So emotions could just like be the driving force for whatever decision you're going to take. And this is not totally right. So we can't really talk about emotions. I'm going to take you to a bit of just like anatomy, but it's fun. And it's fun because it shows us how, like, it's amazing the brain is and how God has just like, you know, like created different compartments that do different things. So there is a system in the brain called the limbic system that we see on this slide on the right. That's okay. So as we see in the picture here, there is a part called the thalamus, and this thalamus is like a relay station. Forget about the names. But so all the sensory input, the ugly sensory input that happen when we are facing an adversity goes to this blue part here. So what you see, what you have heard, or what you have touched goes to there. Another part close to it called the hypothalamus. This is the part that will make you ready. So it's going to start what we call the fight or flight response, or the rest and digest, like, you know. And then there is another part called the hippocampus. This one takes the short-term memory and stores it into what we call a long-term memory. So if I hurt you today and you choose not to forgive me, and you keep the memory of it, you just like store bad stuff into this hippocampus, and it will resurface next time I hurt you soon, inshallah. Okay? So there is also another part called the amygdala. If you stimulate this amygdala, it leads to anger and violence and fear and anxiety. And we found that if we inhibit the amygdala, like, you become mellow, like, you know. And then, yeah, those two, the psychologist called Glor and a doctor called Busey, they work together. And experiments on animal, when they destroy the amygdala, they found that the animal is never aggressive anymore. So in human, we find that, like, you know, people who like use drug, inject drug, or they are in this state of euphoria or you know, drunkenness, alcohol, it works on the amygdala, and there is what we call a disinhibited behavior. And as we see in the picture, there is like hyper-orality, you speak a lot, hyper-sexuality, and disinhibited behavior. So that's the emotional part that happens in the brain. And then you also need to think about the situation. So you use, like, you know, your cortex. You use, you know, your culture, your beliefs, what you learned so far, and you come up with a decision. So what's the outcome? So as we see, like, the first picture in the upper left corner, some people say just like demerak, right? You know what's demerak in English? I don't know how to translate this, like kabbar demerak, you know? So in a face of adversity, some people just like, they don't care, like, who cares really, like, right? Some people are stuck, as we see in the picture. Some people, the upper right corner, no one, please go there. Some people do it, they end their life. You can drink coffee, okay, but don't do that. Some people decide to use their muscles, I'm gonna fight back. And some people even will hurt others. Some people pour their heart in prayers and meditation. Some people go sit with a buna, and some people use friends, right? So those are natural outcomes that happen every time we face an adversity. But I really don't like this slide. It's disorganized. And this is what tonight is all about. So I'm going to introduce you to simple things, simple recipe or prescription. Every time we face an adversity, think in terms of three things. Our friends, the ego, the morals, and the Christian values, okay? So the ego, the morals, and the Christian values. Those are the three friends that we want to chat with tonight. So what's ego? Ego is, it's Latin for me or I. It's a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. It's the opinion that you have about yourself. And morals and ethics, those are the principles on which one's judgments of what is right and wrong are based. And Christian values, those are simply the teachings of Jesus Christ, right? Becoming principles around which our life as Christians is revolving. So, when you are facing an adversity, you have three ways to go. Either you're gonna choose an egoistic approach, it's all about me, I will care only about myself, or I'm going to use morals. And by morals here, I mean, you know, the world morals, you know, what the world is teaching us, which is not bad, by the way. I would like to appear and to behave as a polite gentleman. And then there is the Christian way. There is the Christian way to go about my adversity. Well, if you see here, there is like, I put like a tiny negative under ego, plus or minus under morals, and plus under Christian way, as if I want to leave you with an impression that the first one is bad, and the last one is the best, and in the middle, it's so-so. So, if you tell me, okay, so I used my ego, is like, are you blaming me? Well, yes and no. No, because the ego is part of us, all of us, including myself, all of us. And there is a life cycle. It's normal for the ego to grow and to become very strong. Look at yourself when you were a baby. Everyone loves you, hugs you, all the gifts. So your ego is going into this way. You're getting older, and your ego is getting stronger. And then you keep getting older, and then your ego is getting thicker and thicker, to the point where you discover that this ego is that thick wall that make me, in my faith, unable to see God. Absolutely. And no one can contest that. The more my ego is thick, it's like a thick barrier, I'm not going to see Jesus. I'm not going to see the light. And then this verse where Jesus say, I am standing at the door knocking, whoever opens for me, I come. This is what Jesus means. He wants us to break this ego. He wants us to break the I, the me. He wants to penetrate this. The Holy Spirit would like to bring fruits to your life, but the more my ego is thick, the more the Holy Spirit cannot work with you. So, as you see, the arrows are going from the ego, because as we grow older, we start to get introduced to the word principles, and then you go to church and you get introduced to the Christian principles, right? So the most important thing is you ask yourself this question: where am I? Where am I? In a realistic world, look at the part in the middle. This is all of us. This is all of us. We keep bouncing back and forth between our Christian values and our ego and our world morals. Every time you try to face an adversity and then you say, I'm going to forgive or I'm going to let go, the ego screams at you and say, no, 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 no. You can't do that. You have to stand up for your rights. And if you do that, Jesus comes and knocks on your door and please let go, please forgive. So we are in this kind of just like, you know, fight all the time. So this is, in a realistic world, this is what happens. And every time from now on you face an adversity, I want you to sit with yourself and analyze, what am I using? What are the ingredients that I'm using? Is it too much ego? Is it maybe 10% Christian values, or am I using only word morals and I don't care about the rest? So this is in a realistic way, this is what happens. In an ideal world, you should see yourself leaving the ego behind as we grow older and stronger in faith, and we are progressing, maybe slowly but surely, into the Christian values. And in a terrible world, we're stuck. We're stuck with the ego. And regardless of the age, some people, regardless of their age, they are stuck with their ego. Okay, and a last eye-opener here is, someone might say, like, what's wrong with the morals? Then, you know, it's the, if we stay in the middle, you know, that's not bad. Well, Satan is smart, and he wants us maybe to be stuck, yes, in the middle. We're not truly Christian, but we are not showing to others as we are full of ourselves, full of ego. And that's the worst case ever. We all know this verse in Revelation, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is what the message, the Bible is sending to us. If we are stuck in the middle, we're not doing anything. It even says, I prefer you were cold. Be full of your ego and let everyone see that you are full of the ego. That's for God. He can come and touch. He can come and break your ego. But just to stay in the middle and be stuck, that's the worst thing ever. So while every true Christian response carries necessarily the highest standards of ethics, the opposite is not true. Which means not all morals that we use in face of adversities are necessarily genuine, or they rise really to the level of what the Bible is teaching. I like this quote, greatness is not born, it is grown. Absolutely right. Our greatness in Jesus Christ, our greatness in our spiritual journey is not born with us. It grows on us. And now, let's the fun begin. So the boring part is done. I'm going to introduce you to three friends tonight, which is Miss Ego. Can Miss Ego come, please, for us? Woo! Miss Ego. And Mr. Morals. And we need Christian values. Oh, good. Interesting, you're wearing, like,
we have the
you're wearing black and white and gray. Interesting, wow. So, what we're gonna do now is this. We're gonna run some scenarios based on what we just heard. And then we're going to ask the ego how he or she is going to respond. And we'll do the same thing with... I'll give you this mic. So
yeah. Turn mine off already.
Huh? Yeah, I'll turn it on when I... Is it when I'm talking?
Okay. So the scenarios are... I didn't choose disaster. I tried to avoid this. I tried to choose things that are really relevant to our day-to-day life, okay? So, and then you're welcome to critique or to add at the end of each scenario. You're welcome to, we still have time. You're welcome to just like, you know, add your comment if you want. Okay, so scenario number one, you open your Facebook and you just discover that your friend that you always considered as a friend, like she posted pictures of a wonderful party and it seemed that people had fun and to which you were not invited. How are you going to respond, Miss Ego?
She's clearly not that good of a friend anyways. Doesn't the Bible say tooth for tooth, an eye for eye? I'll show her. Event for event. It's on.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, okay. And are you gonna like the pictures?
Like her picture? I'm not even in it. Actually, I think it's time for a Facebook cleanup anyways. Guess who's the first to be unfriended?
Okay. Wow. Wow, okay. Mr. Morals, how are you going to respond to this scenario?
I'm definitely hurt by the scenario, but you know, not everybody can be invited to every party.
I might like the picture. I'm definitely hurt, but I don't want to appear bitter in front of people, so.
So you're gonna like the picture?
Yeah, I'll like the picture.
Just because you don't.
I don't want to appear like I'm hurt or bitter.
Honestly, I'm really surprised that I wasn't invited, but she's a really, really nice girl, and I'm sure there's a reason why I wasn't invited. I mean, I'm going to give her the benefit of a doubt, and I'll still be her friend. She's a nice girl.
Okay. You're not going to unfriend her?
No, she's a nice girl, and I don't think she deserves it, and I don't know. She probably forgot to invite me.
Does anyone want to comment on this? Attitude, huh? You like
her?
Are you gonna like the picture?
Yeah.
She said she's gonna like it. Actually, but actually, let's be realistic here. She said that she was surprised and she was hurt. So being Christian, guys, this is very important. Being Christian does not mean that I am above all those things. No, we feel the hurt. We feel the hurt. But like the difference between the morals and the Christian values are that the morals, even though he liked the picture, he liked it because there's a different purpose. He doesn't want to feel beaten or just like he doesn't want to like people to say, oh, he's bitter. So there was like, sorry, a wicked reason to do it. But the Christian values were completely different. They like she gave her the benefit of the doubt, right? And then she even said, okay, are you going to talk to her?
Maybe I'll ask her why I wasn't invited. Maybe something happened, I did something, and I just wasn't aware of it, so.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll go to a second scenario. Okay, a scenario of failure. So, you're checking your grades online, Miss Eagle, and it turns out that you failed the test. I hear some hearts are bumping because I know we're heading towards like midterm. Sorry, guys, but it's just like, you know. Okay, sorry, yeah. And then a week after, your relationship, which you thought was going well, ended. The guy left. So how are you going to respond to that?
His loss. Does he see what he's missing? Plenty of fish in the sea. He wasn't even a real doctor. He was a dentist.
Okay, and then what about the test?
You should see the TA they got. So incompetent. She's only a year older than us. I did my part and studied and went to most of the classes. They probably don't even know what they were doing on the test.
Okay, are you gonna just like maybe pray or?
Why? Why would I pray? Why God me? It was such a good guy.
Sorry. Okay, Mr. Morals, how are you gonna respond to all that?
Well, I worked hard on this exam, and I feel like a failure. I feel like I did my best, but I still failed. And I don't know why she left me. I think I'm a great guy, but there's plenty of other fish in the sea, and yeah. Whether or not I'm going to pray about it? I don't know. I don't really think God has anything to do with this, really. It's kind of my own thing, so I don't think God has anything to do with what happened.
Okay. Yeah. Miss Christian Values?
Well, I studied really hard for that exam. I'm kind of upset that I failed it. To be honest, maybe I could have studied a lot harder. Maybe I wasn't prepared well enough, so I guess that's kind of what I have to do for next time. As for the relationship, I wasn't expecting it, and the relationship was going really, really well. I prayed a lot about it, but I guess that's my answer. If I prayed a lot about it, I'm going to have a little faith in God, and there's timing for everything, and thank God for every condition.
Thank you. Any comment? Do you think this is cheesy or real from a Christian perspective? What she said. She said she was hurt, both for failing and for seeing the relationship ending. But again, like, you know, we will notice that. Yeah, you want to say something? I can't hear you, sir. Okay, yeah. Okay. So when we really live under this, you know, umbrella of faith, you see everything that happens in your life as God's plan for you. And this is the best prescription for healing. Best prescription for healing. So even though we feel the hurt inside, but you're going to heal. And this is amazing how Jesus said that you're going to have tribulations and trials, but with it comes peace, comes joy, comes hope. Right? So whoever lives Christianity to its real standards, even though, like, we've all seen people, like, you know, maybe dying to cancer or whatever, and you go visit them and they are happy. Right? Why? Is it fake? Are they faking it? Absolutely not. So this is like, you know, it's not like we have to, because we're Christians, so we have to suffer till the day that we have. No, but God gives us, with those tribulations, he gives us, like, you know, the necessary hope and joy and peace and everything that will make us just, like, carry through this journey. Okay, let's go to a third scenario. Okay, so Miss Ego. Oh. Question. Sorry, yeah, I... Robert?
Hi, yes. I did actually want to ask something about the previous scenario, but if you have to go to the next scenario, then I will go on. So, what would you like to suggest?
Sorry,
what?
Oh, I had a question about the last. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, what I was going to say was that about the previous scenario, I like the attitude of... What's your name, the Christian principles person?
Laila.
I agree with you. I think it's actually, I didn't think about that when we were doing this, but it actually is really important to go over why the relationship went wrong. It's not so good of an idea to just be like, okay, well, that's how it is. But I do agree with you 100%, and thank you for sharing that.
Point well taken, Robert. Thank you very much. Okay, so third scenario. Ms. Ego, right at the time when you were really ready to leave home to join a party, which is very important to you, a friend knocks at the door. You look through the peephole, and your friend was just like, he looked very distraught, and, you know, tired and worried, and maybe he needed your help or your time. So what's your plan?
Well, let's just say it's a good thing I didn't really open that WhatsApp message. I only checked it on the notification. He doesn't know that I saw it. Do you know how hard it is to get reservations at Mandarin around the holiday season for a big group? I mean, it wouldn't be fair to my other friends that I already made plans with. But because I'm such a good person, I'm going to text them when I get there. I'm always available for my friends and a shoulder to cry on.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mr. Morals.
I would open the door and ask, you know, Samir, what seems to be wrong? Yeah, I was just heading out, yeah.
Probably, I don't know, I should come another time, maybe?
Yeah, the thing is I have this dinner reservation, but is it money that you need? I have my wallet here.
Oh, no, thank you, Andrew.
Sorry, you know what, how about we arrange a time, because I need to be fair to my friends, but I want to be fair to you. How about we arrange a time sometime tomorrow to meet up and we could talk about this? What do you say?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah.
Tomorrow around noon, sound okay?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. Miss Christian Values.
Okay. Well, considering the fact that I had these pretty important commitments that I really wanted to go to, I don't think I would tell him to leave. I would probably tell him to come in, and I could reschedule my plans. I mean, if a friend needs you, I think it's more important than the plans that can be rescheduled. And I'm not going to make him feel bad for me skipping my plans, because who knows, he could be going through something really bad and he has enough to worry about.
Well, again, with this kind of response, I want to go back to his response in the middle. He chose not to just like behave like Miss Eagle and behave as if he's not there already, he left. He opened the door, which is good. But again, like, you know, do you agree that there is an ego part that played here in this scenario? And again, he was not helpful to his friend, who apparently was not there to borrow some money, okay? So even though things appeared fine, right? But I would honestly, from a Christian perspective, favor Lila's behavior. Last scenario, and we're done. Okay, so your friend Rebecca, I hope no one is called Rebecca here. Is there a Rebecca? No, okay, good. Your friend Rebecca, one you've been, hanging out with for a while, she stopped coming to church for a certain time, and lately you hear that she got a job in a strip club. So how are you going to react to that?
I totally saw it coming. Did you see what she was wearing the other day? And she barely comes to church. She comes in time for communion. I see her through the door. I mean, does she think it's a drive-through communion or something? Her call in life, not my problem.
Okay. Miss Igor, are you gonna contact her or try to see, like, you know, maybe there is something you can do to help her not do this terrible job?
Ya lahui, الناس هتقول ايه? I have a reputation. You want me to talk to someone like that or be seen with them? I think it's best I delete her number. She chose that bed and she's gonna lay in it. It's not my problem.
Mr. Morals.
You know, it's her life. Rebecca has her own life and she has her own sense of what's right and what's wrong, and if she feels that's the best way to live her life, that's her call. That's not my call.
Okay, and do you think you're gonna try to get in contact with her, or?
No, I don't think so. You know, to be honest, I haven't been going to church much lately either. I've been studying for all those exams I've been failing. so no, I don't think I'm gonna call her, no.
Okay. Do you think, like, you know, would you consider praying for her, or?
Yeah, I might pray for her. I might say a prayer.
You're going to pray for a stripper?
Well,
is God even going to hear that?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Now that I think of it, I can't believe I didn't message her and ask her why she stopped coming to church. It's been such a long time. I didn't contact her. And I can't imagine what she must be going through to, you know, go down that path or find a job like that. And I really don't know what could be going on with her. And she clearly really, really needs a friend. And I think I should contact her and see what's up and why she hasn't been coming.
You're going to be friends with a stripper? That's a sin.
We're all the same. And we don't know why she took the job. Maybe she needs money. I didn't offer her any kind of help. So if anything, I'm the one who led her to the job.
Thank you very much. That was strong. Thank you, guys. Okay, so in conclusion, adversities in life will happen. Okay, they happen maybe every day. Always analyze. What am I using here? Is it purely my ego, as we saw? Is it a mix of both? And I do care about, you know, what people are going to say about me, and I put faith and God on the back burner? Or am I using my Christian values, or am I using the three of them in different proportions? And if the answer is the last one, it's not bad, by the way. You need to sit with your father in confession, and then, you know, there are ways to make you progress into this and try to break the ego. So if you think you're stuck with your ego, let's move on. It will always take you down. Morals are good to use, but Christian values add the needed ingredient and the needed depth to the morals. And not only it will help you heal from inside, but it will always raise you up. Thank you very much.
Where does it translate here? Like, are we saying morals are being lukewarm, and what's the link here? How do we see it?
So yeah, let's go to the slide where. This one, you mean? Yeah, so I meant that, like, Andrew tried to show that he will always try to appear good, okay? So even if I am in church, I'm trying to make everything, every single thing, so that people say, oh, Uncle Samir is very good. But inside, it's bad. That's terrible. And this is, yes, this is what I mean by the lukewarm. Satan has managed and succeeded in keeping me stuck into this gray zone. Does this answer your question?
Sort of.
So, like, if what's your question again?
Like, if you're in one of those other situations, is it better if, like, to use the...
No, I didn't say it's better. No, I didn't say it's better. But sometimes in life, it's better to be, like, you know, your real self. And that's why Jesus, when he was attacking the Pharisees and the scribes, because they had this nice facade, this nice look, but inside was terrible. And that's why, like, we've seen Jesus sitting and talking to like, you know, sinners. And then with those people, he could not digest them, right? Right? He couldn't. So I'm not saying it's better, meaning like go backward towards the ego. No, I didn't say that. I said that we are all born with this ego. And as we grow older, we are introduced to the ethics and the morals, and we start to use them. But the whole thing is we need to make sure that we are progressing towards. So like, yeah, like the arrow, the last, like, you know, this slide. See the last arrow? It was going into the direction of the Christian values. I didn't say go back, okay? Good. Any other questions? And we have Abuna here for difficult questions. Yes.
I have a question about when I have reservation and a friend of mine comes. I think sometimes we miss the point that we are Christians and we lose our boundaries. So for boundaries, we have to ensure that we can say no and how to say no. So if somebody come to me and I have reservation with my family, for example, and I just ditch them because a friend of mine came or somebody needs help, that's not fair to my family.
Okay.
So
you want me to
losing
answer
the
one?
Boundary yeah. sometimes is not a very Christian way. It looks like Christian, but it is not.
Okay. So
this is just my point of
view. Okay. So Laila will have something to say. Can you take the mic, please, Laila?
I agree with you 100% that like you shouldn't just cancel on someone like that. But I think it depends on the severity of the friend's problem. Maybe he needs you something and it's an emergency and he needs you right away. You don't know, he could be like on the verge of doing a drug or suicide, or and that's something you can't hold off. But I think if it's something really, really minor, you could talk it out with him and then go to your plans and then arrange to meet the friend after. I think that's my opinion.
That's fair enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Depends on the severity. So, I agree about this point.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, completely, 100%. And that's why after, you remember, after Laila answered this particular scenario, I asked a question. I said, did you guys find it cheesy? Because I agree with you. Like, you know, you sit, he's a friend. So maybe he's just like deciding to put an end to his or her life. So I'm sorry, I'm going to be selfish from a Christian point of view, even if I let go of this reservation, like, you know, even if it's my son's birthday, but someone's life is hanging on the line, I am going to give this a priority. Okay, but if it's something just like, you know, I need you to talk about a problem, just like, you know, I think it's not going well with my... So I'm going to say, I have the audacity to say, look, you know, can we find other time? And then, you know, in a nice way, not in a way that's repulsive or that makes them feel that I'm brushing them off. So I completely agree with you. Like, you know, being Christian doesn't mean that we have to be a doormat to the point where we're not fair to other people. Any other questions? Yes.
So all the examples that were provided are times when you should act with your Christian values, but a lot of the time it's a friend in need, or like it's a clear choice of like right and wrong, like whether you help the friend or whether you get mad at the friend who didn't invite you to the party. But I think like practically, like in this world, like there are times when you're faced with an issue and it's not, like, where do you draw the line between not, like, being a Christian and being humble and stuff and not being taken advantage of or abused? Because sometimes, like, it's not just a friend who needs to talk to you about something super important. Like, sometimes, like, the issue is in something else of someone who has bad intentions or something like that. Like, do you know what I mean? Do you get what I mean?
Well... It's a gray zone question, but I think like in those scenarios, you know, God, first of all, God is gonna reward me based on my intentions. Like, you know, I could choose to be wise and start to separate, you know, people. This is taking advantage of me. This is really needs me. You could do that, but some other people, They choose not to do this. And with good intentions, they say, you know, I met with people who have this eye. Like, you know, I could see someone obviously trying to get advantage, and my friend, like, doesn't agree with me. So I can't give you this advice that you have to be all the time just like this type of person who is blind and have the good intentions. Like, I mean, if you can see it and we're different, I think there is nothing wrong. But always, always, just like make sure that you don't fall in the zone of judging others and putting yourself into this position where you're now segregating your friends based on judgment. So that's why when we sit with Father in confession, our Father in confession, you can have this argument. And if you have, like, you know, a spiritual guide, you can have this argument with them. So it's not always you taking decisions. Did I answer your question? Okay. I think we're good. Yes? No? Okay. So let's pray. Abuna, please.
بشفاعة والدة الإله نسجد لك أيها المسيح مع أبيك الصالح والروح القدس لأنك أتيت وخلصتنا رحمته سلام ذبيحة أسبيح. Make us worthy to pray to you thankfully, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Christ Jesus our Lord, thine the kingdom, the power, the glory, now and ever. Go in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen. Thank you very much. I enjoyed the subject and the discussion.
Que bueno.